Ideas which were in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Holy Svarim, of the Kedushas Levi and the Tiferes Shlomo. So the Kedushas Levi, who was in Rishonim, in the pasuk, the beginning of the parsha, Yom Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha Me'atzachom, me'atzachom v'beis avicha, el ha'oretz asher arecha. So Avram has to go. The question is, why does he have to go? And apparently, the trip is a tremendous importance for Avram Avinu, for the world, the Eschol, the Golgotha, the Avorechacha, the God of the Shemecha. It's mean tremendous things for the whole, for him and for his children. V'yei bracha. The whole world is going to get a bracha, tremendous blessings, because of this trip. So how is it that this trip is so important to bring such a tremendous bracha for Avram as a yachid, for his children as a nation, and for the whole world? Kedushas Levi says that the emes is that every person has a shorish. Every person has a root where he's really truly rooted in the world. The person has a place for him. Just like it says in the Chumash, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. Person's a tree. Trees have to grow in their special environment. I can't grow a palm tree in New York City, and I can't grow a pine tree in Florida. Every tree has to have its own place. So too, every Jew, especially a Jew, every person, especially every Jew, has his special place. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. You grew up in this place here where you are, Haran or Kazdim, that's not your shorish. You're not rooted here. Even though you were born here, that's not your place. You have to go and find your right place. the person finds a place in which he's rooted, it brings a bracha for himself, for his children, for the world. That's the major lesson of the trip of Avraham Avinu, that a person has to find his right place. So he says, the Kedushas Levi says that there's a modification to the secondary clause to this basic premise. Not every person has one place. Some people, the whole world is their place. Because, for example, we read that Shmuel, it says by Shmuel Hanavi, he made a trip, kept on making trips, it says, going around and around and around the whole Eretz Yisrael. Wherever Shmuel Hanavi went, that was his place. Or we find Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron died in the desert. The desert is not a place. You can't live in the desert. But the idea was, because Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were such neshamas, there were such souls that their shoresh was all inclusive. So they could be any place and be Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be in a desert, it could be in Mitzrayim, it could be Eretz Abad, Eretz Yisrael. He could be any place and be Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are certain people who could fit any place. They could be any place on the planet and they will accomplish, they'll be great trees. But most people have to go to their place. That's the message that Lech Lechom El Oretz Asher Erecha, that Avraham Avinu, this was the wrong place for Avraham Avinu. To be in Haran and Urkazim, all the great things that he did, all the great things that he did, it was wonderful for the people of Urkazim and in Haran, but it wasn't going to be a bracha for the whole world if he would stay there. In order for it to become a bracha for the whole world, he had to go to his place. And his place was Eretz Yisrael. That's why Avraham Avinu had to go to Eretz Yisrael, El Oretz Asher Erecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, didn't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu could be any place, and he gave a bracha to the world. In the desert, where there was actually no place, the desert of Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu brought the bracha to the whole world from his life. So, of course, it's a lesson for us. Most of us need a shoresh. We have to be rooted in a place. So, the big question which every person today has to consider is, where is his place? His place in Galus? Was his place in Eretz Yisrael? Today, Baruch Hashem, we have the option of Eretz Yisrael. Since most Jews should be in Eretz Yisrael, very few Jews are like Moshe Rabbeinu, who could be in Golos and be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Most Jews hope to become like Avraham Avinu, became Avraham Avinu when he came to Eretz Yisrael. So all of us should consider this question of where our place is. And wherever we are, whether we are in Golos or in Eretz Yisrael, where in Golos is our right place? So a person also shouldn't get disappointed if he happens to be in a place where he's not matliach. So he shouldn't think, well, something wrong with me. No, it could be that this is not the right place. We'll get to the right yeshiva, we'll get to the right city, the right town, it would be the place where you will bloom. Never give up hope. If you have to, go search for the place. Like Avraham Avinu, he went and searched. In fact, the other Mepharshim say, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even tell Avraham Avinu where he's going. Now, Otto Sherek, he doesn't tell him to go north, south, west, east. He had no idea where he was going. He was just walking up on his own. Then finally, we don't even know how long it took Avraham Avinu to get to Eretz Yisrael, but it certainly took many months. Finally, came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was searching. Where is the place? All of a sudden, Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him and told him, this is the place. It was a long time till he found it. It wasn't so simple. He went all the way from Haran, which is eastern Iraq, always wandering, northern Iraq, Turkey, Syria, to finally came to Eretz Yisrael. Here the Kedushas Levi is another point. How did Avraham Avinu actually wind up in Eretz Yisrael? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give him any directions where to go. And he wound up in Eretz Yisrael, which was his right makom, his shoresh, his root. The Torah says, Ava Oretz Asher Arecha, I will show you. But we don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu showing Avraham Avinu directions, all the whole long wandering, we finally stumbled on Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says that he came from place to place and he kept on saying, this is not my place, this is not my place. Kept on going and going and going. Finally came to Eretz Yisrael. He saw in Eretz Yisrael that everybody was a farmer. Apparently there were very few, not real big cities at the time. It was on farming. He liked very much farmers. He came from big cities, I mean. Urkazdim was the capital of India, Persia, and Qumran was the capital of Iraq, and Babel, and Syria, big cities. Avraham came to Eretz Canaan, and he saw Eretz Canaan was a place where a lot of farming. He said, oh, this is the right place. He liked it. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give me this place. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, the Zahar Fetch and the Sar Sisa. Now, how did he know where to go? So Kedushas Levi says it was an intuition. In other words, our Oret HaShem HaRecha didn't have to come through a direct prophecy. Now, the Oret HaShem HaRecha was, it felt right to be in Eretz Yisrael. In the other places, it didn't feel good. He came to Eretz Yisrael, it felt good. He says that this kind of a feeling that a person gets, heard people sometimes get the feeling that I feel good someplace. We should know that this is Minas Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu sending you a message subconsciously that this is the right place for you. Same thing with a wife, for example, looking for a shidduch. You look for a shidduch, so it's Vashemayim. How am I supposed to know? Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, 40 days before we're born, right, said Basko Ben Kloni Levas Kloni. So he never gave. I don't know the message. So one of the ways is this: what the Kedushas Levi says, he calls it behirus hasecha. If you feel a certain clarity of your mind when you're in the company of this person, it's a sign that this is the right person. Just like the right place, you get the right rebbe, the right yeshiva, the right. It's not something you can spell out. It's an intuition. The Rav always used like to say also that the sixth sense. The Rav was a great logician, great lamdan. So you think that his philosophy of life would be based on lamdan? No, in philosophy, the Rav was a great intuitionist. To say that the biggest decisions people make and the best decisions people make are based upon intuition. It was a feeling that this is the way to do it. And these feelings. Certainly if a person is a tzaddik, these kinds of feelings are messages min haShemayim which come subconsciously into the person to do this or that. In the next pasuk, it says v'escha l'goy gadol v'avrechecha v'agad l'shmecha v'yei brocha. So Rashi quotes the Gemara v'escha l'goy gadol Zer Shom Elokei Avram. Vavarechacha Zer Shom Elokei Yitzchak. Vagad L'Shemecha Zer Shom Elokei Yaakov. Yochel Yechos Me B'chulam Tamlom Ve'yei Bracha B'chol Chos Me V'lo Behem. So the Gemara interprets that the four statements in the Pasuk, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, it will be a blessing, refers to Shmon Esrei. You say Elokeinu Elokei V'seinu Avraham, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov, we'll give equal credit. We finish, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. These are the four things that first Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov, three of us, the Goshen, get equal billing. God is called their God, God of Avraham, God of Yisrael, God of Yaakov. But at the end we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. We don't say, Magen Avraham, Yisrael, for Yaakov. This is the pshat in the pasuk. So the Kedushas Levi wants to give us an insight. It's what is the meaning of why taka? Is it like this? Why is it that after what we have three avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So why is it that Avram Avinu gets the final stamp of the bracha, bracha to Hashem Magen Avram? So Kedushas Levi says that basically there were three basic. They have to know a little Kabbalah, but there are three basic midos or methods that God uses when He deals with the world. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows that there's Hashem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and there's Elokim. What's the difference in Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and Elokim? Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei is what? Midas Chesed, and Elokim is Midas Adin. In other words, God when he relates to the world, to people, Am Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is chesed and sometimes is din. Sometimes he acts with kindness and there's justice. We have we go with the many things in the Torah revolve around these two foundations, chesed and din. People also, we also in our own lives, every Jewish soul reflects the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every human being reflects the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tzel Malkei Maaseh Adam. Man was created in the image of God. Just like God deals with the world with din and chesed, like Rosh Hashanah is din, Yom Kippur is chesed. Shana, God puts it on a scale. What's more, sins or chas v'shalom, aveiros or mitzvahs. Yom Kippur, that is Baruch Hu forgives everything. All the aveiros become mitzvahs. It's chesed. Do a little tshuva, daven a little bit, shed one tear, and everything is wiped away. The one tear I shed wipes away the whole year's aveiros. That's the chesed of Yom Kippur. So it's chesed and din. Same thing a human being has to have sometimes din, sometimes chesed. I raise my children, sometimes I have to have din. You do this, you get a patch. Most times I should use chesed. I should say, I'll do you a favor, you want to do this, just that so. This is also called the right and the left. The right hand is makare, is chesed, and the left hand is tocher, is the din. It means that you should have more chesed than din. Now, among the Avos, Avraham is considered to be the pillar of Chesed. And Yitzchak is the pillar of Din. So Avraham is Chesed and Yitzchak is Gevura. Because Yitzchak, everything was straight, what's supposed to be. Avraham was Kula Chesed. Avraham Avinu just wanted to give. He saw everything good. Everybody was wonderful. Everybody had to be reached. He was pure Chesed. Yitzchak was Gevura. He was Din. Chesed and Gevura are many times in conflict. Many times in conflict, Chesed and Gevura. You don't know what you should do. So, but there's a resolution. There's a resolution called Rachamim. Rachamim is a Chesed which has its mercy, mercy which means kindness or generosity measured with justice. And I have so Chesed, which means total generosity, doesn't measure with any kind of objective standard. Gevura, then, is only the objective standard. And Rachamim is a mixture. So Avraham Avinu was Chesed, and Yitzchak is Gevura, and Yaakov Avinu is Rachamim. He's the mixture of both. He's the ultimate resolution of both. So he said like this. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with his creatures with the midah of Ava, of love and chesed, the midah of Ava Mavinu, then everything is filled with goodness. All the worlds are filled with goodness. If Chas V'Shalom, God decides, the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides to use the midah of Gevura, of justice, then sometimes it's not so good for us. There's a lot of, if God does pure justice, it's not good at all for human beings. Very bad. And then, sometimes, there's a mixture of justice with Ava, with Chesed. This is the last meter of Yaakov Avinu. He says he should know something even deeper than this. There's something even deeper than this. What's deeper is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses the meter of Gevura, the meter of Din, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that what seems to us to be pure, cold justice, it's also chesed. Because the goal, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in the ultimate sense, Kadosh Baruch Hu is pure chesed. It's only goodness, except that the way it expresses itself in this world is that the goodness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is pure goodness, sometimes has to come to us as justice. So for example, let's say I'm raising a child. My child is terrible, terrible, terrible. no way I can convince her or him at the age of 3 or 4 with all my discussions and philosophies and everything. She just doesn't understand that you can't do this. So even though it hurts me terribly, it's really, it breaks my heart, it hurts physically, I'm suffering so much, I have to give my dearest child a patch. But this you don't do. Don't do this. So that din, which for the child is simply pure din, but that din is really a chesed. So also in the Kelahavdu, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same way, even though sometimes he appears to us as a stern judge, without mercy, but in the ultimate sense, which he knows, and we don't know, but he knows, it is a chesed. That means behind Yitzchak is Avraham Avinu, even though it appears to be Yitzchak, but it's only Yitzchak at the surface level. But in the deepest level, the deeper level is chesed. It's Avraham Avinu who's pure, pure chesed and has no justice whatsoever. Just goodness, just love is also behind Yitzchak's gvur and din. That's what Nochem Ish Gamzu said. Nochem Ish Gamzu said, Gamzu l'tzoyvah. Everything which happens is a tzoyvah. Which means even though something which appears to us not to be good, but ultimately we will understand that it is good. So therefore it means that the ultimate, there is no such a thing really in the ultimate, the deepest sense, the Tushas Levi says, there is no real din. Din is also chesed. That's what Nochem Ish Gamzu said, Gamzu L'Tzayv. So that's why we say in Shmona Esrei, Yochol Yehei Chos Min B'chula. I might think that we have 3 different midos. I have a mido of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'Kei Avram. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives us tremendous chesed. L'Kei Yitzchak. Sometimes another mido. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate judge, the ultimate shofet tzedek, shows what justice is. And sometimes Elokei Yaakov, it's a third midah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is Elokei of Yaakov, is some kind of a mixture of chesed and din. He says, no, you're not chosen b'chulam. It's not 3 different signatures. The signature at the end is only one, Logan Avraham. Because all 3 is ultimately only chesed. The Gvur and the Tiferes, the Gvur of Yitzchak and the Tiferes of Yaakov, is also the chesed of Avraham. And that's why now I'm going to go over to the Tfer Shlomo. I think I'm in between the two Svar and Akdash. Devi knows, Devi. They're different generations. The Kedushas Levi, he's from the students of the Magen Meresh Ritz. So it's really the second generation after the Baal Shem Tov. And the Tiferes Shlomo is from the Chozem Lublin. The Chozem Lublin is already 3 or 4 generations after the Baal Shem Tov. So the Kedushas Levi, of course, is considered from the Amudim, from the original pillars. And the Tiferes Shlomo is much later in the development. So as you find, the Kedushas Levi has a lot of very, very basic things in Chassidus, but he also has a lot of esoteric, not so well explained, unless you know a lot of Kabbalah. But the Rudomska, Tiferes Shlomo, has his Chassidus is much more clear, because it's a few Doros later, so it's Katan, it's closer to us. So we understand the Tiferes Shlomo a little better than we understand the Kedushas Levi. But they were both tremendous thinkers, but and tremendous tzaddikim. And the Kedushas Levi, everybody knows, the Levi is in the Beditcha, all the stories, how he loved Amis. He was Taka, an Avraham Avinu. He may have been a pure Gilgal of Avraham Avinu, he was Mamash Avraham Avinu. He couldn't see, you know the famous story, I just heard of Shlomo's tape from Kedushas Levi. We say over the story. So we say in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Kaina Vada Badin. Rachem Amo Biyomdin. Kufresh. God is Kone, he acquires his servants in judgment, and he has mercy on this nation in judgment. So what's the connection between Makona Avodot Adin and Lachem Amo Biyomdin? It's the same sentence. It seems to be a connection. So the Rishna Rebbe said that this phrase that every Jew says, every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Chel Aruch Din, this is the story of Kedushas Levi. What happened? Kedushas Levi was the greatest defender of Am Yisrael and Rosh Hashanah, especially Rosh Hashanah was his day. Because he couldn't stand the fact that there's such a thing as a scale of a Davis. What does it mean? The Satan, he claimed every Rosh Hashanah that it's a pure lie. The Satan is lying. He's such a thief and a liar, the Satan. He claims, God forbid, the Jews did sins. He's bringing in a hoax. He's piling up. If you look at it, you see it's not sins. It's only good deeds that the Jews are doing. So anyway, what happened? One Rosh Hashanah. So for Shemayim, what happened was like this. There was this good angel, Malach Michael, he tries to represent the Jews sometimes. So he put in, he said, okay, bring in the mitzvahs. There's Baruch sitting in judgment, there's a scale. Bring in the mitzvahs. Michael, big Malach, holy angel, brings in the mitzvahs. He brings in one suitcase, opens it up, and puts whatever's there on one side of the scale. Then one suitcase, all he could get. Alright, a Malach suitcase is big, but it's a suitcase. Came the next, then the Kazakh said, okay, now the other side. So the Shlomo said, Brother Satan came in. He comes in with not one truck, a fleet of trucks, not just four wheelers, eight wheelers, 10 wheelers, 12 wheelers of trucks, tanks, missiles, gigantic cargo planes. All of this, he says, full of avarice. He starts piling it up. It's unbelievable. It's terrible. All the angels start to shake. Because what's going to happen, God forbid, to the holy nation of Israel, this Rosh Hashanah? And everyone is so upset, crying. It's terrible. And Satan is so happy, he's jumping for joy. And Michael is crying, and Gabriel is crying, and everybody's crying. It's going to be terrible. And the Bnei Shalom is crying. What can he do? His poor children is in this case, this open and shut case. All of a sudden, everybody's crying. Satan starts screaming, they stole all the sins that they're missing. All of a sudden, they look around. All these millions, billions, trillions of sins that the Jews did, Rahman Islam, that year, are gone. It's all gone. All you have is a few mitzvahs on the scale, and the scale is down the side of mitzvahs. Satan screams, someone stole my things. It seems so, because there are witnesses that they were here just a minute ago. All of a sudden they disappeared. What happened? So an angel says, I know what happened. But Levi Yitzchak Mepetitchiv is davening Rosh Hashanah, the long shofar, and he saw what's going on in heaven. So Levi Yitzchak made a statement. He said, all those sins belong to me. Satan's a damn liar. He said that the Jews did it. So it's a lie, because they didn't do the sins, because I'm guilty for all of them. I'm responsible. So they all went away. We're not judging Levi Yitzchak. We're judging the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation didn't do any sins, so all the sins went to Levi Yitzchak. So Satan is saying, this is terrible. He stole all the sins of the Jewish people. He's hired. So Hashem says, let's have it in Torah. They bring Levi Yitzchak up to the Beis Din Shel Nachlaot. Say, Levi Yitzchak, there's an accusation that you said you're going to take care of all the sins of Israel. So, can you really pay for all these sins? Can you really take care of them? He says, me, I'm a little man. How can I possibly take care of so much? It's billions and trillions of things. I'm going to pay back. I have nothing to pay back with. But you said you're responsible. Yeah, I said, because if Satan is lying, Jews don't do anything bad. God says, so what's the din? If a ganav steals something he cannot pay, what's the halacha? B'nimka b'knei basal, he sold as a slave. There's a psak. Reb Levi Yitzchak, Reb Titchov is being sold as a slave, and because of the sin he did, and because of the theft that he did, and he cannot pay back, he's being sold as an eternal slave. La'olam la'olmei olam. Who is calling to him as a slave? All of a sudden, a voice comes out. Ribbono Shel Olam says, I am Kona, I am buying of Levi Yitzchak as my Eved Olam. He's my slave, Olam boy. Kona Avada Badin. God is Kona, his Eved, of Levi Yitzchak, Badin. It's Levachem Amo Beyondin. That's when the Jewish people gets mercy beyond them. So that's what say the name of Reb Shlomo, Shlomo Kalibach said that every Rosh Hashanah, when you wish for your friend on Rosh Hashanah night, Rosh Hashanah Tova, you should tell him, "I want to be Kona, I want to steal your Avedus. They're not yours. I want to be the Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam Vaed. That's what I'm going to do." And then when we do that, everybody will have Rachman Badin. This is a baby Yitzchak. Tfer Shlomo, I'll tell you next time this story. So, Tfer Shlomo was a very, very great, very great tzaddik. He's also well known as being a tremendous Baal Manavi. Most of the Nigunim of Bavli come from Tfer Shlomo. I had my shul when I was a young boy, a chassid. He was the best singer in the shul. He's fantastic. Now let's see some of the things he says. Yom Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha al Otsa Sharekha. Going back to, he said like this: Avram Avinu was the basic carrier of Chesed, of the pure goodness of God. Now, what's the God, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Shebashamayim, is an Avarachna. He only wants to do good. He only wants to give tremendous amount of good. Why did God create the world? God created the world because the world gave him an opportunity to do chesed, to do good. This, by the way, is a machlokas between the Zohar, HaKadosh, and Baalei Kabbalah with the Rambam. The Zohar and the Chachmei HaKabbalah say that the purpose of the world was because God wanted to do goodness for people. God wanted to give chesed. And the Rambam says it's exeris hakasav. So there's a custom. It's a chok. He made the world. He wanted to make the world. We don't know the reason. We can't give a reason to why God made this ultimate decision. But okay. So Tfer Shlomo says the reason God made the world was to do chesed. The whole purpose of the world is to take that chesed of God, that goodness, which is so far away. Because before the world started, all you had was Ribbono Shel Olam. You didn't have anything else in existence. There was such a tremendous chesed, but there was no way for that chesed to come into what we consider reality. So God made, so to speak, a space. He created space. Space meant that God made room for the world to exist. And this way, he could shower the chesed from high, high up above in the spiritual worlds, the highest, highest sphere, into our very low world, because there are millions and millions of spiritual spheres and worlds between us and God. God at the highest level is Ein Sof. He's infinite. He's way above anything we can understand. His kindness at that level is beyond our understanding. But the purpose of creation is for that very, very, very spiritual and high goodness to come all the way down through all the different worlds and all the different entities, the worlds of angels and different kinds of angels and the stars and the moon, sun, winds come into this world from human beings. So the purpose of the world really is to bring chesed into the world. The purpose of existence is for man to be like a Kadosh Baruch. We should develop. God gave us an aneshama. This is one of the great miracles, maybe the greatest miracle of creation, was that God made people to be like him, to be Yahweh. Something which is incredible. It's incredible that a little tiny creature, because if you really think about human beings, we know that we're insignificant in the most ultimate sense. Ultimate sense, because you talk about, for example, the universe, the galaxies. So our galaxy, if someone was able to see all the galaxies in the universe, the galaxy is called the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. The Milky Way. The Milky Way has in it millions of stars. There's some kind of a system. I don't know if they're either a spiral or some other way of that they connected all these stars. The Milky Way galaxy is one of the smallest galaxies in the universe, because we know from other galaxies that the galaxy is millions of times bigger. If we have a million stars, there are galaxies with a billion stars, with a trillion stars, much bigger. You wouldn't even notice the Milky Way. If I could look at all the galaxies, I could try to find the Milky Way and have a hard time. It's a little tiny little galaxy someplace. Then when you come into the Milky Way itself, you're talking about millions of stars, and try to find the Sun. The Sun is one of the dimmest of all the stars in the Milky Way. Many, many, most stars in the Milky Way are much brighter than the Sun. You couldn't find the Sun. And once you find the Sun and try to find the planet Earth, compare Earth to Jupiter or Venus. I think Venus is a hundred times bigger than the planet Earth. Earth is not one of the biggest planets in the solar system. Also, it's a small little planet. You come to the planet Earth and try to find people. People. Compare people to elephants, to giraffes, to whales. Those are little things. Then you finally find people. Try to find Jews. Jews among the nations of the world, very small. You finally find some Jews. Try to find a tzaddik in the Jews. And the holy thing, all of this tzaddik and his nation, the Jews, and the people on the planet, and the Earth, and all the solar system, and the Sun, and the Milky Way, and all the galaxies, were all created so that God could bring chesed to the tzaddik, because God wants that tzaddik. That tzaddik is like God. Every person has a tzelem elokim. It's an amazing thing. It's such a puny, tiny little thing. He lives maybe 70 years or 120 years and then winds up dust. Should have a neshama, that this neshama should be able to reach from one end of the universe to the other. Not only this universe, we call Olam Asiya, but to connect to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to the highest level, above all the angels. This is the miracle of the human soul. That the human soul is so great that it's greater than anything else in existence. It's a tzelem elokim. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring chesed, to bring charity and goodness, his charity and goodness into the world. And if we're supposed to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the power and the talent to be like him. So that our purpose is also to bring chesed and goodness into the world. So therefore, it turns out of all the millions of worlds and all the uncountable things that God made, the most important of all is down here. Because here's the ultimate chesed. Because everything, all these different channels that God made are all existing, only that at the ultimate end, somebody down here says, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me an apple. I make a bracha. So God can now express his chesed of giving me an apple, or giving me some tomato soup, or I don't know what you guys eat, pizza pie. This is the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He made everything in existence. If you think about it, it's unbelievable. I walk up and down the street, there's so many, anybody who studies a drop of science. And here we certainly study more than a drop of science. A drop of science, you know how many billions and trillions, uncountable things have to work in order for me to exist. In my own body, the millions and trillions of connections in the nerve cells and the other cells in the body and all the systems, all has to work in order for me to exist. All this tremendous wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the universe in order for human beings to exist and to enjoy a little life. All of this is tremendous chesed. So therefore, this, what happens here is the most important part of creation. You say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lokei Shemayim Lokei Haaretz. He's the God of heavens and the God of earth. The question is, where's the most important part of God's activity? In heaven or on earth? If you would ask me, I would say, obviously in heaven. After all, he has angels singing songs, beautiful symphonies. And angels don't do any sins. They only do what they're supposed to do. And they're much more beautiful than people. And it's wonderful. I would think that God enjoys heaven more than earth. No, okay, he says that the most important part of God's creation is the earth, not heaven. How do we know this? Because the angels sing, we say in Kedusha every day, what do we say? Kadosh, 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 Shem Tzedakos. God is very holy, means he's very, very high. God has everything. Hello, Chol Ha'aretz Kavodo. Where is the cover full? Where is it really complete? For Ha'aretz, not for Shemayim. We don't say Melo Kol Ha'Shemayim Kavodo. Because they say, I am a Kom Kavodo. I am. But that's on the... All the angels don't know, because the angels are further away. This is the most paradoxical idea. This happens to be apparently, it's a very, very deep idea. The angels would appear to be closer to God than us. That's what we would think, but it's not true. They're further away from God than we are. We're closer. Because since this world, our Ha'aretz, is the place where the chesed of Hashem is more obvious. It's more obvious, the chesed, because we are so physical and so puny and so perhaps undeserving of what God does for us. So here the chesed is more greater than for the angels. The angels have to deserve. Angels live, actually, they don't need chesed. Angels could live with din. In fact, the Rashi calls the beginning of the Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch created the world, wanted to create the world, midas din, and the angels said it should be din. God took midas din and pushed it aside and took chesed and said, no, I'm creating the world with chesed. So, and the purpose of the world is chesed. And where is the most chesed? In this world, not in heaven. So therefore, the ultimate goal of creation is this world. More than the angels, more than the creation of all the other worlds, more than the higher worlds, Atzilus, Bili, Atzilus. The main purpose of creation is Asiyas, Malchus, Kadosh Baruch Hu, in this world. So that's why it says, Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asa V'hine Tov Mo'od. Asa in Kabbalah is the lowest world. It's the world of Asiyas. It's our world. Action. Things take place. It's not a world of contemplation. The world's above us, we have angels and higher beings, the souls of the tzaddikim. Those are worlds of contemplation. Those are atzilus, bi atzilus. Action in those higher worlds is through thought. But real action is in this world, olam ha'asil. So it says, v'yahar lukim has kol asher osa. Doesn't have other worlds. What is that called? Asher yotzar. Shabara, no, it's called Asher Asa. Asa is the lowest world, it's the most physical, and that is Tov Ma'od. Because that Tov Ma'od is Chesed. So good, more good than we can imagine. So living in this world is a world of Chesed. That's why, as a side remark, that's why Chassidus emphasized the fact that a person is supposed to be always full of joy, very happy. I'm getting all these good things for nothing. The world is running. I'm living. I can walk around. I can breathe. I can eat. I should be very happy. Nothing to be sad about. So I got a 55 in my camp final. What's the big deal? Don't mean anything. So I won't go to a medical school. I'll go someplace else. But I'm happy because I exist, because the Baruch Hu let me exist. So this is Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu is the one who lived a life of pure chesed, of giving. Avram is split into two words, Av and Ram. Av in Kabbalah means the father, is the father image, Avinu of Harachama. The father is considered, even though maybe people, it's a little hard to grasp, but the father is considered Baal Chesed. The mother is Din. The father is a softy. Mother tells the kid, you better tell them off. So the Av is considered to be Chesed, and the Imar is considered to be Din. So Avram Avinu is Avram. He's a very, very high Chesed, because he connects to Kodesh Baruch with the highest level. Why did Avram Avinu's name change from Avram to Avraham? What is the hay? That hay, which was put into Avram Avinu's name, is the last hay of the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. God's name with four letters, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, represents from the highest spiritual world to the lowest world, which is our world. The yud is the top of the crown, and the hey at the end is our world. So what was said was Avram, the high chesed, which is so far away in God's spiritual levels, has to come down to the world of human beings. Avraham Avinu, this human being has the power to do that. Human being has the power, as Avraham Avinu had the power to bring God's kindness and goodness into the world. And that's why the Vagadla Shemecha, that his name is made bigger, because Avraham pulls it down. He pulls it from the highest spiritual world into our world. And because of this, Va'avorcha, Mevorchecha, Va'avorechei, Avraham Avinu actually brings a blessing. Is a tremendous honor. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the most modest. Somebody, the most modest. He's the center of modesty, because the thing is like this. And like we learn the Torah, so we know that Baruch Hashem is a Borei Olam, and that He's with us, and He's all the time. But the fact is, He doesn't make. And we, by learning Torah, Baruch Hashem, so we have this tremendous desire to do what's right. But the truth is, a Kaddish Baruch Hu could force everybody in an instant. He could force everybody, like he made the angels. A Kaddish Baruch Hu could, God forbid, be machpid. He could be angry, God forbid, because of the insults. You know, if you ever read this famous sefer, Toma Dvorah. The Talmud Dvorah is very, very high and holy sefer, a little sefer. You should read it. Moshe Kodavara is the Rebbe of the Ari HaKadosh. It's the Rebbe of the Ari HaKadosh, so you can imagine what he was. So he writes in that sefer how, unfortunately, God, if God was in our shoes, if we were in God's shoes, we'd be so insulted. Who knows what people would do, because there's so many insults that people unfortunately make. Could be a chas v'shalom, could be a chas v'shem. They enjoy God's gifts of life and health and wealth, and at the same time deny He exists. But the guy gets a check every week. I get my paycheck every 2 weeks from YU, and we say YU doesn't exist. I get a paycheck. I don't know where it comes from. I cash it. I have money, but I don't know who these people are. They just send me a paycheck. Obviously, a tremendous insult. You don't recognize that someone who provides for you, or some, God forbid, sometimes, unfortunately, we see children. They think the parents don't exist. There's food on the table, and there's clothing, and there's a bank account, and pay for college tuition, and you go to Israel. Who does it? I don't know. It happens. Mom and dad, who are they? They're just a nuisance. So this is an unbelievable amount of insult that a normal human being would have. A Kaddish Baruch Hu, we can't imagine the amount of insults which are being heaped on a Kaddish Baruch Hu continuously, every second of the day, by His creatures. Kaddish Baruch Hu does not respond. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years, billions and billions of people, and Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't respond. He made a marble once, then He promised never to do it again. Once He showed what He could do, if He would unleash. The Gemara says in Brachos, the Kaddish Baruch Hu koes b'chol yom. It's not even a second. It's a very small number, a very tiny, tiny fraction of a second that the Kaddish Baruch Hu was koes chol yom. And many times he tries, he's not even koes that instant. Basically, the Gemara is trying to say that if there is a little suffering in the world, it's because of the kaas that Kaddish Baruch Hu has from all the insults. But the thing is, the Elbona Shel Torah, the Gemara calls it, the insult to the Torah. But the fact is, that all of this shows us an Anibus Nusa, Kaddish Baruch Hu's tremendous modesty and humbleness. That He doesn't care. Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't care. It doesn't bother Him. because I'm not here in the Anam. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us all this chesed together with anivus. If a person gives them, we have to go balachta b'drach. We have to go in his ways. So we're supposed to do tremendous good. We're supposed to help everybody else that we can. But we shouldn't take credit for it. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu helps everybody and doesn't demand recognition, doesn't make us march up and down Fifth Avenue waving a flag, making parades for him. Kadosh Baruch Hu parades a... No. Everything is the Tovah. It's for our benefit. That's all. Nothing is done for Kadosh Baruch Hu's benefit. Everything is that it should be good for people. The whole Torah is just another way. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, means he gave us a way to join him in doing goodness for others and for ourselves. God gave us a chance to help ourselves and to help others by giving us the secrets of the Torah. Could have done everything on his own, but he said, really, if I want to really help people the most, I have to let people learn how to help other people or help themselves. Because being a helper and a giver is the greatest joy. I don't know, I mean, we all know that if you help someone who's unfortunate, it's the greatest joy in the world. There's more joy in helping. I can tell you, every so often I have an opportunity that I'm able to help, say, a retarded child. The joy that I personally get after I finish it, I go home, and I'm walking on cloud nine. Oh, I'm able to help this poor child and do something A, B, C, D. So helping, it turns out, is the greatest simcha for the giver. The giver shouldn't demand anything from the recipient. To be like a Rabbanu Shalom, we don't demand anything in return. Just give. Giving is the greatest reward. I don't need anything from the person who receives anything from me. I don't need any recognition. I don't need them to say thank you. I don't need them to give me anything in return. Chas v'shalom. I don't want to corrupt what I'm doing by thinking I'm going to get something back. We're not Westerners. We're not capitalists. I give in order to get. We don't believe in Adam Smith's theory of relationship. We believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's theory of relationships. You give, and you don't get anything back. Because giving is the greatest gift. If I can give, I have the greatest gift in the world. I can give. I can be like the Rebbeinu. I can be like God. I can give and not receive. I can be an anav. An anav means someone who doesn't need anything. That would be the greatest gift I can receive and the greatest simcha I can have, is not getting anything in return. So that's what... So Kodesh Baruch Hu... is Avraham Avinu. We don't see Avraham Avinu. He did so much for so many people. You don't see Avraham Avinu demanding anything in return from anybody. In this week's parsha, he goes and he has a war. He saves Lot. Okay, so Lot, he saves his nephew. So he saved also Sodom and all the people in Sodom. The king offers him a tremendous reward. And he says, I don't want anything. I didn't do it because I needed anything. I didn't do it for them. Why should I take anything? That wasn't my purpose. My purpose was to help. My nephew was captured. That's the way we're supposed to live our lives. We live our lives in this way, like the Kodesh Baruch Hu, well, after the Drachov, then we'll be true tzaddikim. So now I just want to say one other thing that he says. There's so much here. Now that I'm beginning to work with the Hasidus, I now begin to understand that you really can't do a lot, because each idea is so wonderful, so deep, that just in this one idea you could think about it for hours. It could change a true chassidish idea of Kabbalah, which is from a holy teacher, a holy rabbanim, a holy svarim, can change a person's life forever. So you just pack it in one after the other, one after the other. It's an injustice. For each machshavah, these machshavahs, we should know one thing. Even though you see a svar makadoshim, so you see a machshavah like this amount, this idea of machshavah that chesed Hashem, that the world is full of chesed, and that to give and not to receive, it's an idea which a person can use for his whole life. But here it's one paragraph. So you say it and you read it, you know, you say it over in 5 minutes and then go on to the next one. That's not, you're losing it, because the whole thing is, has to go so deep into our lavavos, into our heart, has to go so deep that we become different, we live like this forever. So just can't say it and go on. I have to let it sink in deep and deep and deep. So that's why I apologize. I'm not going to, I'm recommend to you that you take a look at the Svarma Kedoshim, the Holy Svarim. You should know that every idea which is printed here, which is one paragraph, I'm sure took the tzaddik many, many, many years to develop the idea, to get it right. It didn't just come like this. It couldn't. Because if it would have come like this, then why don't you find these ideas in other Svarim? Why only in the Svarma Kedoshim of the Holy Rebbe's, the Holy Tzaddikim, or the Chassidim? They're the only ones who have these wonderful, beautiful ideas of how to live and how to serve God and how to relate to God and how to find God in every second of our existence. Why do you don't find these ideas anyplace else? Because the Tzaddikim, they didn't just wake up one morning and think of it. They worked on it for years and years and years for this to come out. This was from, plus they had a tremendous gift that the Holy Baal Shem, the Baal Shem Tov, came into the world, and he brought the major ideas, and he followed the holy footsteps of the Holy Ari HaKadosh, and it came from himself, from Shem Vayechai. So it's from very, very great tzaddikim. We should really appreciate that we have a chance to hear these things. So even though there's only a few, but I don't want to overload, because overload can kill you. Overkill is no good. Well, you should learn this on your own. You should take Tver Shlomo, Kedushas Levi, and do it on your own. You should say one last thing from Tver Shlomo. And he has like 15 different ideas of the parasha. I mentioned three. Rashi says, that he should go, Shodia Tivacha Ma'olam. I want to show the world your Teva, your nature. It's a very strange Rashi. So he said like this. Avram Avinu was a completely new human being. The world had never seen a human being like Avram Avinu. What was completely new about Avram Avinu? The world had never seen such a person. He was a completely new person. Symbolically, it was because he was thrown into the fire. Everybody knows, every Jewish child knows, that Avram was thrown into the fire by Nimrod, and he came out. It was a miracle. He wasn't killed by the fire. The fact that he was thrown into the fire and he came out alive meant he was a new human being. There was a symbol of it. That's why when God told him, Lech lecha, me'asecha, me'ladecha, me'beisavicha, leave your homeland, your family, your father. So at some level, it seems to be a little bit wrong. When he abandoned his parents. But the fact is that he had, at that point, he had no more parents. Because when he was thrown into the fire, as far as Terach and his mother were concerned, Avraham was dead. They had him thrown into the fire, so they killed him. Came out of the fire a new person. He was not related to Terach. That's why we never say Terach Avinu. Terach is not related to Avram. Avram Avinu and Terach split. This is the Lech Lecha. Avram has nothing to do with Terach. Terach is, Avram Avinu is a new Bria, he's a new creation. Yes. Terach, maybe, but he never became the father of Avram. Could be that Shuva did. So, Avram Avinu was a new Bria. Avram Avinu doesn't have any parents. Avram Avinu was a gay. Like a guy doesn't have any parents, a new tree, a new creation. So what was the new creation of Avram Avinu? So the new creation of Avram Avinu was that you could break your midos rows. Until Avram Avinu came along, people thought, what's my nature is my nature. I can't change it. I'm a balkas, I get angry, I'm a baltaiva, I like women. Well, I have to live with that. That's what I am. I have to do my thing. As long as I don't hurt anybody else, okay, so certain social norms. But as far as my self-expression, what is my self-expression? My self-expression is what I think I am. I express it that way. Cameron Avraham Avinu and Avraham Avinu have a whole new message. Avraham Avinu was a new teva. It was a whole new human nature, human being. That's why, for example, when God brought the Torah at Har Sinai, offered it to Yishmael and Esau, they turned them down. Why did Yishmael and Esau, the world Torah, turn them down? Because the Torah breaks what you think is your natural teva and creates a new teva. That's the chiddush of Torah. The chiddush of Torah is that Torah can change what you think you're born with into something else. The true nature comes out, like the one deep that's brought to the surface through Torah. This is the chiddush of Avraham Avinu, that there is a new teva below the surface which can be brought to the surface, but it's only through tremendous work, through tremendous mesiras nefesh. So that's why Avraham Avinu, Rashi says, a new teva, he has a new nature against the nature of taiva, which is what people think instincts are natural. They are, but there's a deeper nature to do good. That's stronger than instincts. So I can replace the instincts with the new nature of doing good through Mesiras Nefesh for the Kedusha of Hashem Yisbarach's name in the world. Because Avraham Avinu wanted to bring God's name into the world. In order to bring God's name into the world, you had to have tremendous self-sacrifice. It's not easy to bring God's name into the world. That self-sacrifice to bring God's name into the world gave Avraham Avinu the power to change himself and to actually... We don't know if Avraham Avinu was born a Baal Chesed. So according to this idea of Fer Shlomo, that Avraham Avinu was Mesiras Nefesh. Was he born a Baal Chesed? We don't know. But he was ready to jump into a fire in order to bring Hashem Yisbarach's name into the world. Once he was able to jump into a fire to bring Hashem Yisbarach's name into the world, he discovered deep in himself that he's really a tremendous Baal Chesed. That was a self-discovery which he discovered in the Lech Lecha, and that's why it was Lech
Lecha. I don't understand the concept of the rebbe. Because the rebbe, his child becomes a rebbe, his child becomes a rebbe because they're born into this.
And that is a different.
According to this Kedusha Shleima, anyone could maintain that level of the rebbe.
Sure.
Not just the rebbe.
Right. You don't know. Right. The rebbe. The
so
question of discovery.
Of
course, his father had a job, so he gets a job.
Oh,
it's Die, 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 die